And we're going to continue this morning. So I'm going to preach and then we'll sing and we'll worship in a few minutes. Okay? All right. So I realize we don't usually do it that way. We have done it before, but we don't usually. But this morning, we're just going to jump right in. So, all right. Isaiah chapter 40. And so I'm going to be focusing in really this morning on verse 9. But there'll be some other portions that we'll think of as well. So let's begin reading. We're going to pick it back up again in verse. I'm sorry. We're just going to go back to verse 1. We're going to read the passage again. I'm not going to preach all that again, but we're going to go back through verse 1 just to get the flow and to move forward. So if you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Isaiah 40 in verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning through it. I pray that Jesus would be exalted and that every person, every heart would be drawn to him. And I thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. And this morning, as we think about this passage and consider this text, there's a couple things I want you to focus in on right off the bat here. We've been given this thought that life is short. There is a brevity in life. There is this brief moment that we're here, and the Spirit blows across us and we're gone. We're like the grass of the field, the flowers that, you know, they're just gone. And so, but the word of our Lord, the word of our God stands forever. Well, let's think about verse 9. It gives a couple of instructions here to the people of Jerusalem. It speaks of Zion. And many times that's used for Jerusalem in the Old Testament. So it says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings. And then again, it says, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Well, that word, good tidings, good news, that's our word, gospel. All right? Gospel, the word gospel means good news. So when you share the gospel, you're sharing the good news. All right. If you listen to gospel music, you're listening to good news music. Okay, that's what it is. whether it's Southern Good News music or whether it's some other variety. And if it's not about Jesus and it's not about the fact that Jesus died on a cross for our sins and paid the price, was buried and rose again, well, then it's not really gospel music. It's really not. It's not good news music. Well, so here's what Isaiah is given, that the people of Jerusalem, the people of Zion, the God's people are to do. He tells them that they bring good tidings. And yet, you know, I would think a lot of people today would think that God's people, and maybe preachers especially, don't really bring good news. A lot of people would say, man, they bring bad news. Because they tell me what kind of a sinner I am. They tell me how bad I am. They tell me about, you know, hell and judgment and all these things. Well, that's part of the message. That's true. But I'm going to tell you, it's not bad news. It's good news. And here's what the Bible tells and gives to us. It says that we are the people of God. As the people of God, it's our responsibility to proclaim good tidings, to tell people the good news about Jesus, what He's done for us. That's what we're here for. That's, as Brother Ronnie would say, that's what we're supposed to do. And so, why is that something foreign to some of us? Well, you know, this was the city. Jerusalem was the city where the Lord Jesus did a lot of His ministry. He did a lot of teaching, a lot of miracles, a lot of great things. He was also the city where they had the Last Supper, the city where He was, just outside the city where He was arrested. They brought Him in and they tried Him there. And He was crucified right outside the city gates. They used that place, that hill called Calvary, where they crucified the Lord Jesus. And He was buried in a borrowed tomb right there. But then also the Bible says that God raised Him from that tomb. God raised Him from the dead. And so, yeah, Jerusalem is certainly the place where the good news originates from. But you see, in Christ, what has happened to Jesus has now happened to us. What has happened to Jesus? He died on a cross for our sins. Well, when I received Him as my Savior, you know what happened? That became true in my life. Now, I didn't die on a cross for my sins or anybody else's sins. But what became true in, or what is true in Jesus' life and His experience has become true in mine. What he has done has now become real in me. And the life that I now live, I don't live on my own. It's by the faith of the Son of God who lives in me. And Paul said, I am crucified in Christ. Therefore I live. Yet not I. It's Christ that lives in me. So, man, what an awesome thing this is. You are the people of God. And what's happened to Jesus, it's now real in your life, Casey. It's now happened in you. And you've died to that old way of life. You've died to that sinful way of living. You've died to that old way of looking at things. Because you've died with Jesus. And you've been buried with Him. You have been buried with Christ. See, sometimes as Christians, we're kind of reluctant to sell out. We're kind of reluctant to really give it up. And we want the Lord, but we also kind of want to hang on to a few of those old things. But you see, our old way of life, it's been buried. And for you to hang on to your old way of life, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get a shovel. And you're going to have to become a grave robber. You're going to have to get out there and you're going to have to begin to dig it up. And then when you get down to those old bones of corruption and death and rottenness. Yeah, you're going to pull that up out of the grave where God has placed it. And you're going to bring it back home and set it in the corner of your house. You're going to put it in your closet. You're going to set it up on your nightstand. Well, I want to tell you, there's something wrong with that. When Jesus Christ comes into a man's heart, a woman's heart, changes them, there is something brand new that's happened. And we're no longer to live in that old way of life, that old way of thinking. And to do that ought to be absolutely repulsive. Now, I was thinking the other day, my dog died this past year. Jackson. And I buried him out there. I don't think my wife misses him, but I kind of miss him. But you know what? That hadn't tempted me to go back out there and get the shovel and dig him back up again. Find whatever's left. It'd mostly be hair, I think. I mean, that is absolutely repulsive. Somebody comes to my house and says, what's that? Oh, that's Jackson. Yeah, he died last year, but I just couldn't stand to be parted from him. And so I dug him up. My wife don't really like him. She didn't really like him before. She really don't now, but I'm kind of partial, you know. And you'd think, man, that preacher, he needs to have his head examined. That's just weird. It's wrong. And it is. You'd be right. Well, that's what some of us do when we go back to our old way of living. We're just pulling out of the ground the deadness, the corruption, the rottenness of sin and of all that it taints, all that it touches, everything it hits on, it just turns it into something nasty. Well, I want to encourage you today. You're the people of God. You're the equivalent today of Zion, of the city of God. You know, Jesus spoke to us about being the city. He said in Matthew 5 and in verse 14, he said this, he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And I think sometimes as Christians, our approach is, well, I just want to lay low. I just don't want to attract attention. I'm just going to blend in. And folks, we're not called to lay low. We're not called to blend in to the world, to the culture, with everybody else. Now, it don't mean you have to be odd for God, okay? It doesn't mean you have to be some kind of weirdo, crazy, lunatic. But then again, we are a peculiar people, you're right. And that just means that we're His. We're His. That sets us apart. So we need to stand out. We need to be a city on a hill. We need to be proclaiming the truth. We need to be crying out, there's good news. Because, you know, honestly, there are a lot of people, we talked about this in my Sunday school class, but there's a lot of people in this world who are hurting. I mean, just if we could only hear the cry of their heart this morning, if we could only hear, and, you know, even in this room, with this group of folks right here, there are hurts, there are needs, there are things that are going on that are real, that are difficult, and we're struggling with some of those things, and probably there's some things in every one of our hearts that are like that. Well, I want to just say to you, if there's ever been a time when God's people needed to be God's people, if there's ever been a time when the church needed to be the church is today. This is not the time to blend into the culture and just don't attract attention and it's the time to stand up. It's the time to shout out to the world, there is a Savior who loves you and who gave Himself for you and who is worthy of your life. We have a message. It's not one that you have to apologize for. And notice what he says here in verse 9. I like the way he puts this. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. Get up on the mountaintop. But you know what I find? I find that there's a lot of Christians who live way down in the valley. I mean, who live there. I mean, we all have our ups and downs. I realize that. You know, and some of us are bouncing around more than others. But, you know, we have days, man, we're just on top of the world. And then other days, we feel like the whole world's on top of us. I want to encourage you. Some of us have accepted a substandard level of the Christian life. We have just lived this way. We've just begun to accept defeat. We've just begun to think in terms of, well, this is just the way it is. This is just the way I am. And you'll hear it in people's, in the words they use and the excuses they give sometimes. They'll say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way my family, we just have tempers in our family. Got news for you. It runs through every family. Well, my family's just stubborn. Yeah. I know, baby. It's terrible, isn't it? Hey, we're all together in this thing. We're alike. But here's the good news. We don't have to be that way. We don't have to live that life. We've been set free for something. And so, hey, let's begin to ask God, Lord, would You lift me up? Would You just begin to raise me up a little bit higher here? And I don't mean this primarily in the sense of prosperity and the material blessings. You know, but God can do that too. But begin to ask Him to raise up your heart and your mind so that you don't think those same thoughts. You don't have the same pattern of thinking. Some have called it stinking thinking. I think that's a theological term. But we get so immersed in it that we don't even realize what we're doing. Now, sometimes things are easier to spot in other people than they are in our own life. And that's why you need the Spirit of God to very precisely place His finger upon that area in your life and help you to understand your need, help you to see what's wrong, what's going on. You're a city on a hill, but if you're living down below the hill, you're going to have a hard time letting your light shine. And I just believe today that the world needs light. And you are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say you're a 50 lumen light in the world. He didn't qualify it and say how bright you were. He just said you are the light of the world. And in my experience, you know, when you're in the dark, it doesn't take a whole lot of light to make a difference. Well, so he says here to get up on the high mountain. I think that ought to be one of our prayers this year. I think that ought to be one of the things that we ask God for, is God put me on a mountaintop. I mean, spiritually, I think probably there's some of you out there who are thinking, yeah, I remember this time in my life. I remember how God worked in me. Maybe it was, you know, in church camp. Maybe it was in a time of revival. Maybe it was a time just when God just really touched my life and He changed me. And I can just see, man, that was a mountaintop time. That was a mountaintop experience. Well, I understand that you can't live on that mountain peak all the time. It's probably not going to happen, but I think we do need to be asking God to lift us up, to put us up where we can hear His voice and we can follow Him and serve Him and live for Him. Well, so He says here, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift your voice. You know, people quote St. Francis of Assisi, you know, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that words are always needed. I mean, you have to have a life that testifies to the fact that you are a believer. If your life is denying what you profess with your mouth, then you are at best, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And at worst, you're an out-and-out liar and deceiver. Well, we need to lift up our voices today. And again, you know, I don't think there's one way this works out, you know, for all of us. But we each one have an area of influence. We each one have a home. We each one have a neighborhood. We each one have a school or a workplace or some circles of acquaintance where we are, that God has put us. And you know what? I'm not in your circle. I'm not the one who's got all those different connections with other people. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. Every one of those places that God has put you, there is a need for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed. Lift up your voice. And He says it, lift up your voice with strength. Now, I think we all know, we cannot do that on our own. We cannot do that apart from Him coming and working within us. So I want to just encourage you that when He tells us this, lift up your voice with strength. Well, He is able to give you strength. And you may look at that and think, yeah, but... And we've got our excuse. But what we need is for God to lift us up and to change the way we think, change the approach, the mentality of our life. We need to have our mind transformed by the power of Christ, by the power of the gospel, by the Holy Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, the eternal, living, powerful, sharp Word of God. It cuts both ways. We need God to change who we are. So, say it strongly. Say it with strength. I mean, there comes a time when you have to be all in. I mean, you ever eaten a meal by somebody, cooked by somebody who wasn't all in? Well, that was interesting. I like the eggs and the eggshells in the eggs. It, you know, it's kind of provides a little texture. And have you ever worked with somebody who wasn't all in? pain. You ever listen to somebody preach who wasn't all in? Well, I've done it. Well, there comes a time when we need to be all in. We need to be no half-hearted, no halfway, we need to be fully given to the Lord. So say it strongly. Say it, deliver this good news with some strength. And then another thought here is to say it to yourself. Because, you know, one of the battles that we face is doubt. One of the battles we face is this skepticism that rises up within us. Now, it's not just in the world. It's out there, yes. But it's also right here. And the devil will work on that. He will try to get you to doubt and disbelieve. So, share this good news. Proclaim this good news. And start with yourself. Do you ever talk to yourself? I find I do it quite a bit. And yet, what I need to be saying to myself is I need to be telling myself truth. Because so many times what happens is I'm hearing lies. Some of it from my own mind, some of it from the world, some of it from the devil. But I'm getting bombarded at times with lies. And I need the truth. So we've got to lift up the truth in our own mind. We've got to declare the fact that God is real. We've got to declare the fact that God is true. And that He is powerful. That He's the Creator. Because you know what? God, the first thing that the enemy attacks in the things of God is the Word of God. We need to be declaring to ourselves, saying, proclaiming with strength that God is truth. God is real. God is powerful. God's Word is mighty. And we can trust it. Amen. We need to be proclaiming to ourselves God's love. You see, if we could ever get a hold of that, we would understand how much He loves us. So you hear it from the preacher now and again. You hear it from the, whoever now and again. Begin to tell yourself the truth. Begin to speak the truth to yourself. And here's the truth. The truth is that God is love. You say, well, preacher, I don't really know sometimes. Get in the Word. You're going to find what you need when you get into the Word and you begin to ask the Lord to speak to you. But we need to be talking to ourselves about salvation. We need to be reminding ourselves every single day, Lord, You saved me. You lifted me up out of the miry clay. God, You saved me out of the mess of my life. God, You saved me when I was so unlovable. And I was so turned against You. And God, You saved me. Because I'm going to tell you, when you begin to tell yourself the truth, your life is going to begin to be different because you're going to begin to live that out. So we need to confess the truth of what Christ has done at the cross. I was reading this morning the story of Simon the Pharisee and that moment when he invited Jesus to come to his house. You remember? Luke 7, I think. And he came, Jesus came, but there also came an uninvited guest, a woman. And she just came in. And Simon the Pharisee he was a Pharisee. I mean, he was truly a Pharisee. Because this woman came, and you remember what she did? She began to wash Jesus' feet. And she didn't come in carrying a bowl and a towel and all the equipment. All she had was her. And she came in and she was washing His feet with the tears from her eyes. Tears were streaming down her face, and she was washing his feet with the tears and wiping his feet with her hair. And meanwhile, Simon the Pharisee was looking, and he was thinking. He didn't say it, but he thought within himself, does Jesus not know what kind of woman it is that's touching him? She is a sinner. And Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. All right. What is it, Master? Called him Master. He said, there's two men. They were both servants, and they owed their master a debt. One owed just a small debt. The other owed a great debt, but neither of them could pay. And so the master looked at both of them and said, your debt is forgiven. Jesus said to Simon, now which of these two men will love his master more? Simon said, well, I guess the one who was forgiven more. He said, you've judged rightly. He said, from the moment I came in, you didn't give me water to wash my feet, which was a very important act of hospitality in that culture, in that time, those days. You didn't give me water to wash my feet. But this woman, since she first came in, she hasn't quit washing my feet. Let that sink in a little bit. My feet with her, the tears from her eyes, with her hair. And he said, Simon, the reason that she loves much is because she has been forgiven much. And he looked at this woman and he said, your sins are forgiven you. And her sins were many. She was a sinner. But so was he. And his sin was just as grievous to God. Even though he had not committed the immorality, even though he had not done some of the things that he was looking down on her for. Well, folks, what we need to grasp is the forgiveness that God has given to us. Because it will change how you look at everyone else. When you understand the depth of your own sin and what God has done in Christ at the cross for you, it will change the way you look at other people. You will never again look at someone and look down your long pointy nose at them and condemn them and judge them, because you will realize they are a sinner just as you are. Well, we need to lift up our voice with strength. We need to say it to ourselves, and we need to say it to one another. We need to encourage and build up one another. And we need to say it to a lost world. But I think it really needs to start with, we need to witness to ourselves before we ever witness to anybody else. We need to be reminded every day what Christ has done for us. Let's bow our heads. This morning, there are a lot of different ways that we have missed maybe what God has for us. But this morning, what I would like to ask you to do is, if you felt the Spirit of God speaking to your heart about one of these areas, I want to invite you to go to Him and ask for His forgiveness. Ask Him to change your heart, your life. Ask Him to do a work in you this morning, so that you can lift up your voice with strength. There's some of us who've been listening to lies that we're not loved, that God isn't really loving or good. Those are lies from the enemy. And the proof of that is in the cross of Jesus. God loved you so much, even when you were still a sinner, the Bible says that He gave His Son for you. And so I would encourage you this morning to come to Christ and open up your heart to Him. Tell Him whatever's going on, whatever the needs are, you tell Him. Father, in this moment, I cry out to You, Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know You or whose heart has just drifted from You or they have turned from You, Lord, in whatever ways, would You help us? Because we each one need Your touch today, Your help to be where we need to be. God, draw us back to Yourself, I pray. We're going to remain in an attitude of prayer and seeking the Lord. But if God is speaking to your heart, you answer His call this morning. Come. This altar is here, Christian. If you need to get on this altar or make an altar where you are, do it. There's no shame at the altar. None. And if today you need to be saved, say, I've never trusted Christ. I want to. Then come. Take my hand. Say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I'd love to share with you how you can be saved. Maybe there's something else that God's dealing with your heart about. Whatever it is, you come.